This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:39 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we are going to be talking about ways to improve our electoral system. So the Electoral Reform Committee, that's the ERC, proposed the role proposed a number of things, but one of it is that the role of the Election Commission or the EC be split up into three separate bodies. So the EC would remain in this instance, but it would be in charge of creating and implementing policies. And this means that the EC would also be given powers to deal with political parties, something that is currently under the jurisdiction of the Registrar of Societies. As for the other two bodies, one would run the elections and the other, an Electoral Redelineation Commission, would be in charge of, you guessed it, redelineation. Right now, the EC does all of those things. So this proposal is only one out of 49 that the ERC is pitching. Its chairman, Tan Sri Abdul Rashid Abdul Rahman, said that these would restore public confidence in the voting system. Other proposals also include suggestions for fairer political coverage in the media, registration and voting based on your current address and where you live, and a first-past-the-post system for state elections. This report has been submitted to Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin for cabinet members to review and study, but according to Tan Sri Rashid, no timeline has been given for now. So as we mentioned, one out of 49. So that's quite a number of different proposals, different suggestions that have been put forth. And what we've done is we are going to be cherry picking, looking at a few of the elements that caught our eye and trying to understand how this would affect our system. So that is going to be coming your way shortly. But if you have thoughts and you'd like to ask any questions on the electoral, on reforming the electoral process in our country, what have your experiences been like? What do you think could be better? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Danish Prakash Chako, mapping advisor at Tindak Malaysia. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:46 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We're talking now about a proposal from the Electoral Reform Committee. And we examined, we examined one in particular, which was that the role of the Election Commission right now be split up into three separate bodies. But that's only one of 49. So we're going to be looking at that plus a handful of the 49, I suppose, that has been put forth. But we'd also like to hear from you on the subject of reforming our electoral process. What do you think would help to restore some faith if you feel like you've lost a bit of faith in that whole idea of voting or in the process of voting? You can call 7733 2900 with your suggestions or questions. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now crossing over, though, to Danish Prakash Chako, mapping advisor at Tindak Malaysia and research analyst at Jeffrey Sachs Centre in Sunway University. Danish, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for presenting me an opportunity to speak on an important matter.
So one of the key proposals from the ERC, as we were talking about, is to set up a tripartite system to look into different functions separately. So the Election Commission would make and implement policies, then a second body would be tasked with running the elections, and then a third body will be in charge of redelineating electoral boundaries. Why do you think the separation of functions is important?
Let me speak of the importance of the separation of the Election Commission and into respect to the Electoral Boundaries Commission. In our proposals to the ERC from Tindak Malaysia's side, we have made it very clear that we should have an independent boundaries commission. So what does this actually first entail? So first of all, the boundaries commission must look into building a fair building blocks or constituency, i.e. the polling districts. What I mean here is a lot of us tend to associate the issues of redelineation and fair representation as though the state and federal constituencies are too big or too small. But when in reality, the building block of those constituencies has been flawed. So hence, the Boundaries Commission should be empowered to actually to build the necessary parameters for the building blocks. Secondly, we have to make it clear that this Boundaries Commission should have the power to delimit constituencies, not just recommend. So the Parliament will be just informed at the beginning stage of this proposal and the final stage of the delineation. At no point that the Parliament should be actually voting on this proposal. We want to make it clear that the boundaries that pertaining to our elected constituencies should be under the domain of an independent commission. And what does this amount to about who makes up the commission? Is we have to make sure the people who actually makes up the commission are people who can inspire the independence of the commission. And public hearings should be conducted to vet who should make up the commission. So when you actually separate the boundaries commission from the EC, you are able to provide the necessary check and balance to the powers who are affected by the boundaries, that are your elected representatives and your voters. So by keeping it separate, there shall be no accusations of election commission being biased. That's point number one. And point number two, with the rigorous method of who forms the boundaries commission, you actually ensure the integrity behind the building of those constituencies.
So another major suggestion is for federal level elections to use the closed list proportional representation system. And I'm going to admit here that I researched this, I read it at the time I understood it, and then shortly after that, I felt like it was slipping away again. So I was wondering if you could walk us through what this means in simple terms and also what it might look like in practice.
Okay, so in just in one sentence, the closed list proportional representation system, or CLPR, is essentially where the seats are allocated proportionally to the various parties or groups based on the vote share. So what does that mean? If you, for in a very simple sense, if you earn 20% of the national vote, you should be allocated approximately 20% of the seats, hence proportional. Right. So what does actually it entail? So each party, so let's talk from the party side. Each party will present a list of candidates for this nationwide or statewide constituency, okay? Whereby in the party, they may put maybe, for example, 50 candidates. Let's say the state of Sarawak, if you have, let's talk about the state level, for example, if you have 82 seats, the party can give 82 seats. So if the voters on their side, their duty is just to elect their party, choose a party that you want. So if the party receives, let's say, 50% of the votes of that given state, for example, then it will receive 41 seats. So the top 41 candidates in the party will be elected. Okay. So what does it actually entail for Malaysia? Okay, so the very first thing is, we have to shift our country from a single-member constituency to multi-member constituency. Currently, we elect representatives geographically. That means, for example, if I reside in Subang Jaya, I vote for the representative of Parliament Subang.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. But when it comes to CLPR, you have to divide the country or the region such that that particular region has multi-members. So, for example, in Malaysia, if you have 222 seats, and if you treat Malaysia as one single constituency, it is a multi-member constituency of 222 members. Okay. So what does this imply? So now this is going to be a shock effect. The voters must adjust to the fact that they're actually electing leaders who are not geographically linked. You are electing leaders at the national level, for example. So for example, I vote for DAP or UMNO or PKR. Then I'm not actually voting the representative who's physically going to represent my geographical area. I'm electing them at the national level. Okay. So that another point is, there could be a situation that you need a minimum threshold for you to garner a seat. For example, you must gain 5% of the national votes to gain at least one seat at the national level. What would be the consequence of this? That means the current arrangements of pre-electoral coalitions that we have that was built on the first-past-the-post system will potentially reconfigure. Now, there could be a situation that, like for example, DAP and PKR may not necessarily need to come to a coalition before an election.
Right, right.
They can compete and then later. And I think one of the most important consequences, there could be a possible situation where political parties based on certain secular ideologies, single-based issues or policy-based groups are finally able to be represented. Currently, our country, we are still very much, our political parties are based on race and religion. But if you want to advocate policy-based that is nationwide, it's not going to work out in the current system. The current system favors geographically linked issues. So a CLPR means if you want to advocate, for example, green policies, it affects everyone. So you have a chance to represent. But having said that, there is a consequence that you can have very extreme parties also appearing in the system.
So that's, and I think that if we were to dive into that, that would be, you know, there's a lot of complications and a lot of political complexities. I think you highlighted just a few. But we also wanted to look at other items. And so, for example, item 27 on the list would be for voters to vote based on their current address or where they live at the moment. And this is something that has been discussed for some time. What impact would this have if it were implemented?
Okay. So let me start with the story and why actually I'm very strongly in favor of this proposal that is stated here. Last year, when Tindak Malaysia went down to help and observe the local village elections, that like a referendum to elect their leader in Kampung Baru Paroi in Seremban, we decided to go a walkabout in that village. And we found out voters, so-called voters, exist on empty plots of land. So this is the problem. These voters used to reside that area, but when they moved out, they didn't inform the election commission. So this creates a situation that our electoral roll can be abused or it will be littered with archival stories of the past. So what would be the consequence of doing so? So, for example, in Selangor, you're going to foresee the electorate expansion is going to dramatically going to happen, while seats in Pahang, Kelantan and Terengganu and rural parts of any part of the given state will suddenly reduce. And for me, it is actually important why this has to occur, because the basis of fair elections, the basis of fair redelineation, occurs when you have an electoral roll, a voter's roll, that is reflective of the reality of the ground. If you happen to stay in Peninsular Malaysia, but you first registered yourself in Sabah, by right, your stake is actually in Peninsular Malaysia. If you have been staying in Peninsular Malaysia for 3 months, by right, you should be going to at least to the National Registration Department and tell that you want to update your address mm-hmm. and instantly inform the Election Commission that my electoral address should be in Peninsular Malaysia. And then in effect, I would say this, if we were to do this, we can actually can cut down a lot of the unnecessary traffic jams we see in on election day.
And Danish, we just have a couple of more minutes. I just wanted to run through two more things. So recall elections, can you tell us how you think that might work out here in the country?
Okay. Personally, how I say recall elections as a mechanism is it actually allows the voters to decide on whether they are happy on the performance of the candidate at a given constituency or if it is in a CLPR, that particular member. So I personally believe that recall elections can be applied for various situations. Competency, then also for the purpose if that person were found guilty and was charged or fined, but you know the conviction process takes too long, so the fact of booting out is delayed. Or that particular person switch parties, or the entire party switch coalitions. So personally, I feel the recall election should not be constrained by this sort of definitions only, but it should be given as an option for voters to decide. So what does it entail in Malaysia? A voter with a minimum set of numbers creates a small petition saying to a particular election management body, EC, saying that, look, I would like to issue a petition whereby I do not want this so and so representative of my area to be continuing his or her term. So once the Election Commission ascertains that you have the right wordings and you have the minimum representation, the Election Commission may go back to you and say, now, you, who actually issued the petition, can you collect 10% or 20% of the signatories of registered voters in the given constituency? If you attain that, then the Election Commission will randomly verify those signatures. And once you're done, you pass the minimum threshold, then the Election Commission can call for a recall election, whereby the question is put out to the voters of the constituency, do you want the representative by the name of A, who represents in your area, to be recalled or not? So then you have to put thresholds of participation and threshold of how many votes do you need to recall the process. So bear in mind this, once you pass those thresholds. One is the signatory number of signatories, and then the threshold of the election. Then only you remove that so-and-so representative. And in Malaysia, once you declare the seat vacant, let's say in the case of first-past-the-post system, then you immediately call for another by-election. I actually foresee the whole process from the beginning to the end. It takes 4 to 6 months.
And unfortunately, Danish, we are out of time, but thank you so much for speaking with us this evening.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you very much.
That was Danish Prakash Chacko, mapping advisor at Tindak Malaysia and research analyst at Jeffrey Sachs Centre in Sunway University, just talking to us about some of the proposals on the that have been submitted for electoral reform in the country. If you'd like to weigh in, please do. We're going to head to the news now. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.